ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम ऑल द स्टूडेंट्स, स्टाफ, स्पेशल गेस्ट्स, डिवोटीज इन द टेम्पल एंड अदर एस्टीम्ड लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन फॉर टुडे इवनिंग्स स्पेशल जन्माष्टमी प्रोग्राम विच इज एन एनुअल फीचर ऑन दिस कैंपस एंड जेजे हॉस्पिटल। माय कृष्णास ग्रेस, we started in 1997 the first Janmashtami program, and it was the first outreach Janmashtami program from our temple, outside of our temple for the first time, and then gradually all the other programs followed through. So various batches have come and gone, various students and devotees have assisted us in this most wonderful mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread knowledge, understanding of the body, mind and the soul, because perfect health means a complete harmony between body, the mind and the soul. So as students in a medical college, all of you are being exposed to a certain aspect of health, which is the body, and at the end of your course here you will be trained to be expert doctors, but that is taking care of only one third of what is defined as perfect health, because perfect health consists of harmony between body, the mind and the soul. So in this college you are getting detailed, systematic, scientific, logical information dealing with what the body is, what are the problems related to body and how to solve it. So basically you are doing only one thing, problem solving, related to one system, which is the body. But ultimately our system consists of other aspects apart from the body, and the other aspects are the mind and the soul, about which you have absolutely no information, and you have absolutely no way of knowing all of this information unless you access it from a bona fide proper source. And therefore International Society for Krishna Consciousness, under the auspices of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has been conducting programs on this campus for the last 11 years to fill in the much needed vacuum and the gap, and this vital information about what the mind is, what the soul is, and what the problems related to mind and soul is, help people understand their own systems properly. And only when you are able to understand your own selves properly, you can help deal with others. And therefore, all of us will appreciate that all of you are studying medicine, so definitely knowledge of the body is being received in great detail. But that is not making you peaceful. That is not making you blissful and free from anxiety. There is stress, there is anxiety, there is misery and confusion in the mind. And the best part of it is you do not know why it is happening. Because before coming to medical college, your only aim was, as soon as I enter medical college, all problems will be solved. So that was what driving you in your 10th standard, 11th standard, 12th standard. So you studied very hard, you are brilliant students, got through the exams, now you have entered JJ. So that means, that was the dream you were looking for, that as soon as I enter, peace, swargalok. But now you are here. My question is, are you now fully peaceful? Have all your problems been solved? You are feeling free from anxiety? No. Some of you may say, more anxiety. More than what I ever imagined before. And therefore, when you are doing your undergraduation, then the propaganda comes that it is because it is under graduation there is anxiety. Once I clear this and enter post graduation and become a PG, then all problems will be ultimately solved. Because that is what the great Mahajans have said here. But then you go through that and enter into that stream, and what do you see? You can ask so many students here who are into PG, and they are all nodding their heads that their problems have not been solved, but they got postgraduate level problems. And then so on and so forth, you will go on. So definitely you are acquiring knowledge of a certain area, no doubt about it. It's the best of its kind available in this country. No one is doubting that. But that is only 33% understanding of your own system. You are still totally ignorant, befuddled, and have absolutely not the least idea of what 67% of your own system is all about. And that is why we are coming here to help you understand that part which is described in the Bhagavad Gita, which according to our great acharyas is the great book of internal medicine, because it discusses the details of not just the body but also the mind and the soul. So I believe we wanted to go, right? You would like to speak a few words now, because this mind will go for 1 hour. So our doctor, since I have not begun the topic anyway, I am just giving a...
Thank you very much, Bhagavatar Prabhu, for your kind words.
So I am sure many of you would be inspired to follow in the footsteps of people who are leading a life based on spiritual principles. And as he has explained through his talk, that you do not miss out on any aspect of life which society expects. At the same time, you add certain dimensions by being connected. So today I would like to discuss briefly on this topic, medicine for the sick mind. So it is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, a beautiful verse where he is glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the supreme doctor. And he says, Vaigunya keta kalitam paishunya vrina peeditam dainyarnave nimagnoham chaitanya vaidyam ashraye. I am suffering from the boils of envy, and I am suffering from the contaminated blood of material desires. Paishunya vrina peeditam dainyarnave nimagnoham. Immersing myself in the ocean of humility, I offer my obeisances to the supreme doctor, the supreme physician, Chaitanyam Vaidyam Ashraya. That supreme physician who can cure us of this sickness, of this disease. So as I mentioned before, all of you are being trained in dealing with diseases of the body. But the Shastras also discuss diseases related to the mind. And diseases related to mind are basically broadly classified as greed, pride, lust, envy, anger and illusion. Kaam, krodh, lobh, mad, matsar. And no university, no college, no hospital, no pharmacy shop anywhere in the entire planet can give you medicine to treat this disease. And therefore, let us try to see what this disease is, how to treat this disease, and what benefit we get by being treated.
from this disease with this medicine.
So there is a beautiful pastime in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this describes a case study. And through this case study, the power and the efficacy of this medicine is revealed. So it is described that there was one Brahman whose name was Ajamil. And this Ajamil, it is described, had become attached to a prostitute. And because of attachment to prostitute, he was leading a life of sense gratification. He had given up his properly wedded wife, and he indulged in all kinds of illicit activities simply to maintain this prostitute. This is known as the disease of lust. So now, what happens is, Ajamil becomes very famous in the entire town of Kanyakubja as a very, very sinful rascal. And it so happens that at that time, there is a great sage who is suffering from a certain kind of skin disease. And this great sage approaches a vaidya in the same town and asks him, what is the cure for this skin disease? And according to tenets of some traditional medicine at that time, he said that the best medicine which will work upon you would be the remnants of a really sinful, low-class person. After he has eaten, you eat his remnants, the skin disease will go. So this may not be taught nowadays in these your colleges, and Dr. Shankar Sawan may not recommend this kind of prescription. But this is a Puranic story. And so the sage inquired and found out that the most sinful person at that time was Ajamil. And he came to the home of Ajamil and requested his wife, the prostitute, that after your husband eats, keep some remnants, and then I will honor those remnants. And the prostitute said, have you gone nuts? Something wrong with you? You know who my husband is? Said, yes, I know. That's why I have come. You just do this and I will give you great blessings. So she was intrigued at this unique request. But anyway, the next day she kept some remnants, the sage came, honored the remnants, and within a few days he was cured. So he came to the home and saw this lady and thanked her and said, because you gave me those remnants, now I am cured. I want to bless you. What is the blessings? I see that there is a small baby in your arms. I bless you that please name this son Narayan. And therefore this great sage's blessings acted upon the family. And although Ajamil was so sinful and he was associated with the prostitute and engaged in all kinds of sinful activities, he got the benefit of sadhu sangha. He got the benefit of what is known as Abhyata Sukriti. That means, even if you do not want, somehow or the other, someone intervenes in your life and you do not know who he is and what he is, but because of connecting with him, you get benefited. And that is how so many people here have become devotees. That they were moving around in the campus, and some devotee was also moving around, and they met them, and sometimes they wanted to tease them, sometimes they wanted to deal negatively with them, but somehow they got connected. Some people came just for prasadam. Our Dr. Shyam Mohan used to come in the end after the whole program to ask questions, but gradually by asking so many questions he got so many answers that ultimately he became completely convinced. So that is called Ajnata Sukriti, that you just get connected in some way, in some form, and then you get the benefit. So therefore, Ajamil kept his son's name Narayan. So it is described that Ajamil was very attached to his son. Day and night he would be calling out his son, Narayan, come here, Narayan, eat this, Narayan, sleep here. And he would be constantly chanting the names of Narayan. He was sinful. He was performing all kinds of abominable activities. But he had that one good quality of being attached to his son whose name was Narayan. So it is described that as time progressed, the time of death approached. And when death approaches, it comes all of a sudden without anyone's notice. And all of you are doctors, and all of you know how death is, and you are dealing with it constantly. Suddenly, death approached. So when death approached, Ajamil was totally bewildered. Matinchakar tanaye bale narayanangvaye. And he was in a bewildered condition. He was fearful. And therefore, he started calling out his son's name who was most dear to him. Therefore, many people say, I will take to some process of spirituality in my old age, later. Not now. This is too young. And therefore, when old age comes, I will take. But what is the definition of old age? The proximity to death is old age. And when someone is going to die, is there any guarantee? Are people born with a card which mentions the date of death? Does any one of you know the exact date when each one is going to die? We had an example here in this very campus that one boy, he just got distinction in some subject, the third year passed, and our Shyamohan Prabhu called him for our satsang program, and he said, who will go to that satsang? Today is Dandiya here. So I will go for that Dandiya. Said, why? Because in your satsang there are only boys. I will go there, I will dance, I will enjoy, there are so many girls, it will be very enjoyable, and therefore I am going there. He had heavy food, heavy dinner, and he went right there, he danced, he had passed, he had got good grades. And then as he was dancing, suddenly he started feeling palpitations. And then within 2 hours, he was taken to the emergency and he died. He was just a young 22-year-old boy. So death can come at any moment and we cannot avoid it. So when the death approached, Ajamil was taken aback. And the nature of death is, when death comes, you think of that object which is most dear to you. So all of us form various attachments, and these attachments accumulate, and at time of crisis you think of that who is most dear to you. Like when you come into the college and then you go through some writing session, right? I don't know, previously there used to be something called writing. I don't know if it is still there or if it is an extinct concept, but the freshies would call it ragging, seniors would call it initiation into the hostel culture and maturing the person, or give various other euphemistic terms for it. But when a freshman would be subjected to all kinds of, you know, torturous things, then he would start remembering who? His mother or his father or his friend or whoever, because it is time of crisis. And one becomes homesick, keeps writing so many letters and keeps calling up. Why? Because at time of crisis, you remember the one who is most dear to you. That is quite natural. And therefore here, because Ajamil was attached intensely to his son, he remembered his son. And so it is described that our entire lifetime, whatever energy we put, that kind of mental conception we develop, and at the time of death that becomes most prominent. So therefore one has to start preparing right now. Just like if you have an exam, and in medical college exams are big things and very heavy duty things. So how is it possible that you can pass an exam? And previously I used to hear that the Mount Everest of all exams is the third. And then I would say, why not? Many people have come and they will say, exam going. Everyone is exam going. And I will say, when is the exam? 8 months from now. You say, 8 months from now? And you are already calling it exam going? Who is going and where is going? He said, no, 8 months is nothing. Because the portion is so vast and the subject to be covered is so much that 8 months is nothing. That means if you have to prepare for an exam, you spend a lot of your energy. So similarly, death is the final exam and therefore one has to prepare. So because Ajamil was not prepared, he had dedicated his entire life simply in developing attachment to his son. The only thing he could think of was his son. So he started crying out the name of his son. As soon as he saw three very powerful, ugly looking personalities. Sapasha drishtantin drishtva purushan ati darunan vaktratundan urdhvaromno atmanam netumagatha. Vaktratundan urdhvaromno. So he saw three personalities whose faces were distorted and hairs were standing on end like this all over the body. Even the hairs on the head were standing like this. Generally we only see in some comics like that. But when Yamdutas come, these three personalities, it is no joke. So many times people feel that all this concept of Yamraj, Yamlok, hell, Narak and all this is just stories to scare us, to force us to do something. But no, it basically deals with different types of living conditions. They differ. Just like you have posh areas in Bombay, you want to stay in Malabar Hill, Pali Hill, but you also have Arthur Road Jail. Right? So how many of you have been to Arthur Road Jail? How many of you have entered and been inside Arthur Road Jail? Raise your hands. No one. I have been for giving lecture. And I have seen inside. It is kind of hellish. Why? Because it is meant to reform people and keep them in certain conditions. Therefore, the living conditions differ. And what has qualified them to enter that jail? Certain activities. So if right now from this program, if you go to Arthur Road Jail and say, I want to enter, you won't be allowed. You won't be allowed. You need special permission of IG. And you need letter. And then you will be checked completely. Screened. They checked me thoroughly, including my bead bag. And said, why are you checking this? This is only mala. Who knows, you may be carrying bomb here. So you need qualification even to enter there. Therefore, to qualify to enter into this campus, you did certain activities. And to qualify to enter into a jail, you have to perform certain activities. To go to any area, you need certain qualification. When you have that qualification, you are given access to that area, then you can see the conditions and people living there. So none of us have gone to every square inch of the creation, and unless we take a tour of the whole creation, we can't comment that certain areas don't exist. Therefore, at the most, we can say that they may or may not exist. And if there are hundreds and thousands of descriptions saying they exist, then there is no reason to believe why there should be such a big scandal about something existing when it is not existing. So might as well believe it, because it is safe. As our Sudama Prabhu says, that one may be in your ICU, in your medical college, in your hostel, or what do you call that, hospital. So in that, at the deathbed, a person has performed various sinful activities, he is in ICU. But from top, the Yamdutas are also saying, ICU. And we are ready for you. and we may not be able to see. But also medically it has been recorded that there is a phenomenon called terminal restlessness, which many doctors have reported and nurses have reported. And they have seen in patients who are just about to die a certain kind of restlessness. They start sweating and start speaking strange things and become fearful and scared. And there is documented evidence of various such consistent facts where they have described factually certain personalities whom they have seen, which confirms the description given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vaktra tundan urdhum romno atmanam netum agatham. So as these personalities came, Ajamil cried out. He was fearfully cried out to his son, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And as soon as he cried out, at that time suddenly four very effulgent looking personalities appeared there. And these four effulgent personalities are known as Vishnu Dutas. Vishnu Dutas means they are the agents of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So many of you may think that this is all fairy tale story, cock and bull story. We have never seen these things, never heard these things. But these are authoritative descriptions. And basically, when you understand certain subject matter, your faith develops gradually. And when your faith develops gradually, you will see that any subject you were taught, you could never confirm 100% of the facts which were taught with your naked vision on day one. You could never appreciate each and every fact which was taught to you and confirmed it personally. But you just accepted it. And maybe one or two facts made sense to you. And based on that, it increased your faith in the book. For example, in chemistry book you heard about the atom and the proton, so you didn't know what it is. But it also said, have an experiment, you pass carbon dioxide through lime water, it turns milky. You saw it happening, it developed faith. Oh yeah, it happens. So these words are true. So maybe other things which are mentioned in the book may also be true. So that's how the faith development process takes place. So therefore here, there are descriptions of personalities, events and experiences from a different dream which you have never experienced. Nor have you ever experienced going to Greenland or America or Antarctica. How many have been to Antarctica? Raise hands. How many have been to Greenland? Raise hands. Anyone? But how many of you believe it exists? Raise hands. So all of you believe. So you are a group of people who are willing to believe that certain places and personalities exist even if you have not visited them personally, based on what you have heard. Why? Because you have read so many years in school geography. Right? And you say Greenland, you know on top there is one block here. Antarctica somewhere below. But actually we have no experience. But we have full conviction. Even now somebody asks us where it is, we have full faith. It is there only. So no, it is not there. It is there. No, no, it is here only. Why? I have heard. I have heard. Akbar and Hemu fought on the battle of Panipat in so and so year. Tell us what were the reasons for the fight. Immediately you start writing in your history paper. And so many years we spend writing history books and history answer sheets. How many of you wrote in the exam, I was not there on the battlefield? Don't ask me. No, immediately we wrote down in great detail. Why? Because we had no other choice but to put some faith. Therefore, transcendental subject matters are also based on the same principle that certain things work and make sense and you can relate to, and based on that you put faith on other things which you may not be able to correlate and appreciate and put faith as of today. But in future there is a lot of opportunity to confirm it. So here, the Vishnudutas come and it is described that as soon as the Vishnudutas come, they told the Yamdutas, stop, do not carry him away. And the Yamdutas stopped. And they were bewildered. Why they were being told to stop this? And they could not understand. So Yamdutas say, kasya vahakuta ayata kasmat asya nishedata. Who are you and from where have you come? And why are you stopping us from carrying away the soul of this sinful person, Ajamil? So Ajamil was like a sinner who broke the law, and Yamdutas had come just like police, and Vishnudutas had arrived and they were trying to stop, and they couldn't figure out why. So at this stage, it is described that the Vishnudutas expressed to them in very wonderful way the reason why they are stopping. And they say, Yuyam vai dharma rajasya yadi nirdesha karina bruta dharmasya natattvam yaccha dharmasya lakshanam. So if you claim to be Yamraj's agents, then you explain to us what is dharma and explain to us what is adharma. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that when you are representing some mission, you should be ready for questions. When you declare yourself as belonging to a certain faith, people will ask questions. And therefore you should be convinced about the mission and the master whom you are representing. So when Vishnudutas are questioning Yamadutas, then the Yamadutas' faith is tested. Similarly, when we are representing the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should be ready for people to challenge and question us, but we should be in a position to defend that. Therefore, systematic study of these books of our great spiritual literatures is very important. And therefore, here it is described that bruta dharmasya nastatvam yatcha adharmasya lakshanam. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that awareness of your master's mission consists of three things. First is, we have to hear properly. Second is, we have to assimilate what we have heard. And then thirdly, we should learn the techniques how to preach and present it expertly. So hearing, assimilation and presentation, all the three aspects are very important for us to understand what we are representing. So most of the youth in India are in a position where they know that yes, there is concept of God, there is concept of Krishna, there is concept of spirituality, but I just can't connect things properly. Like I always tell this story in my first time lecture, that there was one sage who was staying outside a village. He was called by the villagers to come and give katha, and he sat down for the katha, and the first question he asked was, how many of you sitting here in the audience believe in God? He asked this question. So immediately all the villagers were there, they raised their hands, and the sage said, I came here to convince you that God exists, but I see that all of you already believe God exists, so what is the point of my coming and speaking? Let me go away. He got up and walked off, and the sages were bewildered, the villagers were bewildered, because you organize a big program like this, everything is ready, asana is there, person comes, speaks one line and walks off. And to get so many people again is so difficult. How will you advertise? We came last time, he spoke only one line and went. So anyway, they got them together again. Again he came, second time again he asked the same question. So how many of you here believe in God? So this time the villagers had planned perfectly. None of them raised their hands. We don't believe in God. What is God? We don't know. You tell us. And the sage said, I came here to speak about God, but I see that none of you believe in God. That means none of you are interested to hear about God. What is the use of my speaking? I am going away. He got up and walked off. So the sage was acting in a very peculiar manner. The villagers went and called him again. And he said, please, Maharaj, this time you have to speak something. Nahi to hamari naak kat jayegi. Organizers were bewildered. So again, the third time he came, sat down, again asked the same question. How many of you believe in God? Immediately, according to their previous plan, there were villagers sitting on the right side. They raised their hands. Yes, Maharaj, we believe in God. And those who were seated on left side, they put their hands down and nodded their heads. No God. We don't believe in God. So the sage said, very good. So those of you who are seated on the right who believe in God, speak to those seated on left who don't believe in God, sort the matter among themselves. Lord God. Now, the message which I give is that India is a land where every youth has some idea that there is some concept of God. But he has never been explained scientifically or systematically. So when he gets good grades, he feels God is there. When he passes peacefully, he thinks God is great. When he studies for certain portions for exam and those portions come, he is convinced God is great. He may write also on the answer sheet, God is great. But some negativity happens, some reversals take place, he'll go to the temple, and as the Bollywood stereotype shows, that all in Hindi films, whenever something goes wrong, the hero goes where? Temple. And he rings the bell and asks question, Bhagwan kyun kiya? Why did you do this? When something good happens, he is not seen going to temple. He is going chasing in, you know, the forest. But when something goes wrong, then he is shown as going to the temple and questioning God. Therefore, these principles have not been systematically, scientifically presented. It is a great science. And here, the Vishnudutas are questioning the Yamdutas. Tell us, you have heard from your authorities, is it just blind faith? Is it some fairy tale? Or many times people think Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, these are all Hindu mythology, which we used to hear from our grandmother. When? At night. When? When we were about to sleep. So what we heard in sleepy state, which according to traditional Vedic wisdom is supposed to be heard early in the morning when you are fresh and before you start any other job. Here, nowadays the concept is after you have finished everything and done everything and you have no energy even to lift your finger, but still somehow there is insomnia, so use these stories and literature to go to sleep. That is the message. And therefore it is very difficult for people to appreciate. And there are others who may appreciate this, may follow some of these literatures, but they do it ritualistically. They may claim to have some faith, but they do it out of ritual. And they may even mention shlokas and may mention various things, but they have no understanding of what they are speaking. They are just repeating, murmuring, without understanding the essence. So anyone in India knows the shloka, yada yada hi dharmasya, right? Karmanyeva adhikaraste, and paritranaya sadhunam. Even if those they didn't know, but because of Mahabharata serial, now they know. And all of these are very common. But that doesn't mean one has understood the Gita. Like I tell the story that Albert Einstein had a driver. And Albert Einstein had created a very nice paper which he was presenting all over Germany. And this driver would drive him. And Albert Einstein used to practice the presentation in the back seat of the car. And this driver would repeatedly hear it so many times, he memorized it. So one day Einstein was in the back seat of the car saying, I am feeling very tired today. And the driver said, may I present today on your behalf in the conference, scientific conference? And Albert Einstein said, you can do it? Yeah, I have heard so many times. And then he gave a whole presentation to Einstein. Einstein was impressed. He said, go ahead. You go and present, I will sleep in the car. So Einstein was sleeping in the car, he went and made a fantastic presentation. Who? Driver. But driver didn't know that after the presentation there is question answer session. So after the presentation, one scientist who was sitting in front raised his hand and asked a 5-minute long question, which naturally went way beyond his wavelength. But this driver was not to be faced, so he was looking at him confidently and said, very good question. It's a very simple question. In fact, this question is so simple that even my driver who's sleeping outside can answer it. So just repeating few things without actually understanding the essence and the spirit behind it can be done by anyone. And that is the condition of most people here in India. And therefore we had 2-session series in our temple in Prerna festival on Mera Bharat Mahan. That India is actually very great, but the greatness of India has not been revealed to the student community, mainly because this knowledge is not being described scientifically. So here, the Yamadutas, when questioned by the Vishnudutas, they become very much bewildered. And what do they say? They say, Veda pranihito dharma hi adharmastad viparyaya Vedanarayana sakshat swayambhu iti shushruma. They say that whatever we are speaking is not our own concoction. We have just heard this from authorities. Who is our authority? Swayambhu, Yamaraj himself. Therefore, Veda pranahito dharma. So Prabhupada gives the purport, hearing from authority is the process for dharma, not speculation. Hearing and not speculating is the process for understanding real religious principles. And hearing is something which everyone has to do to understand concepts. So when you are coming in to a medical college also, what do? Hear. You have to hear. And then you are taken to the anatomy room, the dissection hall, and you are exposed to all the dead bodies. And when you first see those dead bodies, what was your response? Did you feel blissful? Did you feel ecstatic? Did you find any of the dead bodies moving? If the dead bodies had moved, you would have stopped and fainted. But while they were not moving, they were inanimate. So then you have certain concept of what is death and how ultimately one dies and all the diseases and everything are explained. But a similar concept of what death is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And so the Yamdutas are quoting authority, and hearing from authority is a bona fide means of getting knowledge. If a small child repeats 2 and 2 is equal to 4, even a PhD scholar cannot refute him. PhD scholar cannot tell the child, 5 saal ka bachcha hai, badi badi baatein karta hai. No, he is saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, it is a fact. Because he has heard from bona fide authority. So if you hear from bona fide authority and repeat, then that is considered bona fide. So here, the Yamadutas, they were saying that we have heard from authorities, and based on that, we will explain to you what is the law of karma. So there is something called law of karma. There is something called law of gravity. So I may say that if I take this watch in my hand and drop it, is it going to go down or is it going to fly up in the sky? Yeah? It is going to go down. Why? You may say law of gravity. I say, but I don't believe in law of gravity. I believe that if I throw this, it is going to go up. I believe that if I jump from this window, I am going to fly. I am a devotee of Superman, and by his potency and mercy, I will fly. That is my belief. I have great faith. I have done many Superman Mahayagya. So therefore, let me go ahead and fly. So if you are really my well-wisher and friend, you will make sure that I am tied here and not allowed to go near the window at all and experiment with Superman potency. Because you know that law of gravity is going to pull me down. It is a law which will act whether we believe or not. So similarly, when you act, there are certain laws which will work. And so the Yamadutas describe 8 aspects in any justice giving process. When someone is brought to court, then before the judgment is given, there are 8 aspects which are considered, and this is very important because these are laws which we are not aware of. Just like why you have to go and educate the villagers, boil the water, or educate about AIDS and things like that, because there is ignorance. So ignorance is the cause of suffering. So ignorance makes you break the law. Breaking the law is known as sin or papa. A sin causes you a certain reaction and further proclivity for the same sin, and then this goes on and on and on. So therefore, the first aspect of a justice process is the crime. Number one is crime. Crime means breaking the law. Second aspect is criminal. One who breaks the law is known as a criminal. The third aspect is that evidence. There has to be evidence. Right? So now as human beings, you may think, how can I be a criminal? You are calling me a criminal? I am a good soul. Main bhala manush hoon. Main sab kuch achha karta hoon. Main vrat karta hoon, tap karta hoon, puja karta hoon. Bandanga mein machli ko bread khilata hoon. I do so many things which are good for others. You are calling me criminal. Why? Because we are breaking laws. How we are breaking laws? We are killing inadvertently in so many ways. Without our knowledge, we are killing living beings. There is killing. We can't avoid it. You may be walking on the road thinking, wah, suhani sham hai. Aha, what a beautiful evening. And you are walking on Marine Drive, on the footpath. And there are ants which are moving there. So is it suhani sham for them? No, it is shamshan for them. It is the last day. They are going to be destroyed. Their perception is not the same as your perception. So we are walking, eating, breathing, killing so many beings. So we are continuously committing activities which are breaking the laws. So therefore, crime means to break the laws. You jump the red light, you break the law, you get the ticket. Right? Similarly, there are laws of God which exist. So when you see the red light, you don't see traffic police. In India, people see left, traffic policeman is there, right, traffic policeman is there, in front he is there, in back is it not there, red light or green light, go ahead. And many people get pleasure in doing that. They just feel too much, you know, botheration, just waiting. So if nobody is there, go ahead. But in the West, you can't do that because there are cameras, hidden cameras. So if you jump the signal, immediately you are caught. So like that, we may think we can perform various activities and no one will know. Then the fourth aspect comes, which is witness. So therefore the evidence is the happiness and distress we experience. And witness are 12 in number. Suryo, Agni, Kham, Marudeva, Somo, Chandro, Kam, Kum, Swayam, Iti, Hiyete, Dharmasya, Sakshina. The sun is a witness. And you may see, sun, it is just a ball of helium and all these things. That is what we learned in science. How can sun be a witness? We witness the sun. I see the solar eclipse. No, when we say, India and Pakistan had peace treaty. What does it mean? The two flags had peace treaty? What happened? Two representatives from these two countries came together. Right? So, Indo-US ties improve. That means what? Two representatives. So, when we say Surya and Chandra and Agni, what does it mean? Representative. One who is representing that. And therefore, Agni is also one representative. And Agni means what? Agni means fire. So you may think, I will smoke cigarette quietly. secretly. No one will know. And you are lighting your matchstick. And that fire itself is one of the sakshi. He is right there. Agni. So where you can hide? So all of our activities have been witnessed, and ultimately the Lord in the heart, as Paramatma, is the ultimate witness. So all our activities are witnessed, and then based on this, judgment is a modus operandi, or the way of committing the crime is the fifth aspect. How you commit the crime? So the body is there, the senses are there, and we use this body, the senses and the mind to commit various kinds of sinful activities. Therefore, you may have desire that I want to enjoy, but you need hands, you need eyes. Through the eyes you see some beautiful object, through the hands you capture it, then you enjoy it. So that is the process. And then based on this, the sixth aspect the Yamdutas explain is the judgment. So someone has to give the judgment. And judgment consists of two parts. One is the judge, and second is the executor. So who is the judge? The judge is described as the super soul or the Paramatma. And the executor is Yamraj, or one who gives, who actually executes the judgment. And then one is subjected to punishment. One goes through the seventh process of punishment. And punishment means what? Punishment means one is given a certain kind of reaction for a certain activity which he has performed. So if you are a pickpocket, you will get a certain kind of punishment. If someone is a murderer, he will get a certain kind of punishment. And therefore, we can see that this punishment is something which Krishna already describes in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This material world is a place where it is designed in such a way that when you break the laws, you will get a punishment. Just like if a washing machine is advertised that we have a beautiful washing machine, as soon as you touch it, you may get a good electric shock, and then when you put your clothes in it, then we guarantee you that the clothes will be shredded to small pieces. And then finally, if you try to take out all the water, it may give such a big shock, you may die also. But we are giving it on a 50% discount. Please buy this washing machine. How many would be inspired to buy such a washing machine? No one. But the irony is, Krishna is advertising about this material world, that this material world is a place of distress, is a place of all kinds of misery. Get out of this place. It is a place of punishment, but people are thinking, no, he is joking. There may be some enjoyment here. Right? So that is the whole concept of hope in things of this world. So punishment, and then the last part is what is known as solution. Esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sana eva na chirat isha sangat vilayate. So the eighth aspect is the solution which Yamdutas are themselves revealing. Esha prakriti sangena. Esha prakriti sangena. Because of being contacted with material energy, we are performing so many activities, and we do not know those activities have certain reactions, because of which I am experiencing misery. Although I am having degree, although I am having good job, money, all facilities, still why the mind is filled with anxiety and suffering? Why do I go into depression? And why do people commit suicide in spite of the fact that everything else is going on well in life externally? Because there is no correlation between happiness and money in your pocket. Just as there is no correlation between your fever and money in your pocket. If a patient comes to you saying, doctor, bukhar hai, 102. And the doctor takes a 100 rupee note. Jeb mein dalo. Utar jayega. Does it work? If you put 100 rupee note in his pocket, then he may take it and go away. Definitely. But the fever is not going to come down, is it not? Is there any connection with the 100 rupee note you put in his pocket and the fever which he is experiencing? And what are the chances that his fever will come down? And he comes and says, "Bukhar utra nahi, are, aur 400 rupee dal do." Will it come down? No. So here, we are sick in mind and we are actually going through reactions of various sins which you have committed, and it is a diseased condition. So when you are diseased, you have to look for an appropriate medicine. But there is no forum where neither the disease nor the medicine is being described. So people have no idea why I am suffering, and they are creating their own concoctions of how I should solve this suffering. I am in anxiety, what should I do? Smoke. I am in depression, what should I do? Drink. Gum bula do. And so many people write ghazals. A singer is singing in drunk state and encouraging others who are also hearing to also drink. But then nobody is trying to find out what is the cause. Just like a man was about to die, and just at the time of his death, the Yamdutas came. And they said that the kind of activities you have performed, it entitles you to two places. One is heaven, other is hell. So tell me where you want to go first. So the man said, "I don't know either heaven nor hell. Tell me what it is." So they said, "Okay, we'll show you a glimpse." And they showed. "We are showing you heaven. Beautiful garden, nice trees, lakes, fountains, beautiful damsels walking." Said, "Okay, this is heaven, fine. What is hell?" So then they showed, "This is hell." And they showed beer bar, then they showed nightclubs, and they showed restaurants selling meat, they showed gambling casinos. And this man said, "Oh, this is hell? This looks like Bombay. It looks very familiar. I would like to go to hell." So he was taken to hell. And as soon as he entered into hell, immediately he was caught and stripped apart. Various kinds of torture were subjected to him, and they took open his entrails, and he started screaming, "This is injustice, injustice. Yamaraj, where are you?" And Yamaraj came, said, "Hey, why are you shouting? Pranyay hoye mere saath. I was shown something, but now they are giving me something else. They showed all these nice restaurants and casinos and this and that, and now they are burning me. What is this? What was that then?" Yamaraj said, "That was advertisement for hell. That was advertisement. If you follow those principles, then it will definitely inspire you to come to this place. And this is something which is not revealed. Therefore, they call it permit room." Right? Permit room means what? Where you are given permission to go to hell. And one may not believe in these concepts, but the concepts are given, the laws are there, and the laws will act whether I believe in it or not. So therefore, this whole principle is described in great detail about how the laws of karma work and entangle us. And innocent young people who have absolutely no idea just get implicated in these karmic reactions, and the life becomes a total miserable wreck. Ajamil was in a similar situation, but what saved him was he was attached to his son Narayan. And because he was attached to his son at the time of death, he chanted loudly the holy name of his son, which was the holy name of Narayan. He was calling out his son, and that happened to be the holy name of the Lord. And therefore he got the benefit of chanting the Lord's holy name, which is the most powerful medicine to destroy this disease. And so Shukadeva Goswami describes, "Mriyamano harirnam grinana putro pacharitam ajamilopya gaddhama kipuna shraddhaya grinan." Ajamil, he chanted the Lord's name inadvertently, and he was actually calling out his son. not Narayan. Mriyamano, only at the time of death. He did not chant helplessly throughout his whole life. So he chanted the Lord's name only at death. He chanted his son's name. Grinana putropacharitam ajamilopi agadhama. And he was calling out in a state when he was himself very sinful. Kim punashraddhaya. And he had absolutely no idea about the power of Krishna's holy name. So just imagine, if rather than calling some other object, we directly call Krishna, rather than only at time of death, we regularly chant the holy names of Krishna, rather than continuing our sinful life of sense gratification, we try to control our senses and follow the regulative principles of no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling throughout our lives. And then we hear regularly the glories of the power of Krishna's holy name. Kim punam shraddhaya grinam. How much more benefit we are going to receive? The benefits are unimaginable. Therefore, all of you are intelligent, young, dynamic, open-minded. And therefore, from this revealing pastime of Ajamil, one should take this lesson that the disease of material sense gratification is deadly, and the effects they create have been described. And certain reactions come about, and there is a justice system which works, which creates suffering. So disease causes suffering, and therefore you need a doctor to give medicine. So the Supreme Lord is giving us the supreme medicine for destroying this disease, and the supreme medicine is the holy name. And because Ajamil chanted the holy name, he was protected from the influence of the Yamadutas. He was given a reprieve and allowed to practice spirituality in its purest form again at Haridwar, purified his life, and went back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, this holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is a very, very powerful process. This is known as the Maha Mantra. And you chant this Maha Mantra on a daily basis, and you will see how your life transforms completely. To chant this Maha Mantra, you come in the association of devotees. When you come in the association, you get inspired by each other, and you get that spiritual inspiration to progress on this path. Every Thursday we have programs here in the evening for the last 11 years, and we have created an association of those who are spiritual seekers, who are interested to learn this topic, and they get connected and their life transforms. And we have seen that happening again and again and again. And you have just heard that by being connected, you do not lose anything materially. You only become more peaceful, sublime, blissful, in control of your own life. Who will not want such benefits from a process? And most importantly, you have the luxury of associating with some of the most highly developed personalities. Associate with devotees, which gives you so much of joy. Otherwise, every other association has some material motive connected to it. I have my one favorite story which I always tell with respect to material and spiritual friendships. So there were these three friends, and they came together and they decided to make kheer, to make sweet rice. So they took a lot of milk and started boiling the milk, and then finally the milk came down and they were left with only this much of kheer. So now they felt, there is only this much of kheer, how three of us can eat? So one of them said, okay, we'll go to rest at night, we'll sleep at night, and at night whoever gets the best dream, tomorrow morning he will drink the kheer. He said, yeah, this is a brilliant idea. So all of them slept on. So in the morning, the first one said, you know, what did I see, where did I go in my dream? I went to Brahmaloka. I met Lord Brahma personally. Second fellow said, shut up. I went to Shivaloka. I met Lord Shiva personally. Third fellow said, in my dream, Hanumanji came. And Hanumanji was showing me his fist. And he was telling me, drink the kheer. And the other said, what did you do? Said, what to do? Hanumanji said, so I had to drink the kheer. So he said, bewildered. Why didn't you wake us up? You would have come. Said, I tried to find you, but you were in Brahmaloka and you were in Shivaloka. So when three people come together for a mutually agreeable task, which is not spiritual in nature, there are always vested interests. Ultimately, each one wants the kheer. And whatever helps to get that, they will get it. So the kheer may be different. Each one has his own kheer. And group of people with whom he is making the kheer. But ultimately, the tendency is, as soon as I get a chance, cheat and get my interests done. Therefore, the whole concept of relationships which are selfless and based on service is practically non-existent. So here you have the opportunity to associate with those who are just coming together for glorifying the Lord, understanding their spiritual essence, and the whole basis is service and not mutual exploitation. So with these words, I would like to end my presentation. And at this stage, I would like to invite one very special friend of mine who has come all the way from the United States of America, His Grace Balram Chandra Prabhu, who has been preaching in the colleges all over America. And many Indian students, especially doctors, many this year also have gone to America. And he has come all the way here for higher studies and higher spiritual studies, to study the Shastras, to study the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And he has, like last year, I introduced you to one more Western devotee from America, Kirti Raj Prabhu. Last Janmashtami he came and spoke a few words. So this year we have with us His Grace Balram Chandra Prabhu, very wonderful, dedicated devotee, very sincere, very honest, very hard-working, and he's accompanied me here today, a very close friend of mine. So I would request all of you to specially welcome him to our program by loudly chanting. So I request him to sit.